For almost three decades, Madonna has captured the imagination of the public by identifying where we needed to be pushed and, taking us there like a prayer. Whether you're crazy for her or annoyed by her expressing herself, you can't deny the impact this beautiful stranger has had on all of us.
Today, we dedicate the first part of our show to Madonna, the woman, the iconoclast, the musician. Cabaret singer and Madonna expert Melissa Young joins us before she sets off on her own Lucky Star tour, a one-woman show dedicated to the life and music of Madonna.
Madonna's new video for her song Celebration features her diehard fans and her baby girl Lourdes all grown up wearing her mama's wedding dress.
Plus Madonna's gay brother Christopher Ciccone's jealous hatred.
Also in the news, the terrible Patrick Swayze Kanye West joke that's making the rounds online.
The touching and colorful promise to a dead soldier.
Hunks for gay marriage.
Hollywood gay gossip from the 1950s.
Nicole Kidman set to play a transsexual artist.
And we mourn the loss of musician Mary Travers and comedian Henry Gibson. I'm Mark Fillion.
I'm Fausto Fernos, and this is Feast of Fun. Today's show is brought to you by generous support of fabulous listeners like you.
We really can't do the show without your support, so please visit our website, feastoffun.com, and make a donation, buy a t-shirt.
Your financial support makes all the difference.
Thank you. Today's show is brought to you in part by Steamworks, Gym Sauna, and Baths.
Release the pressure!
Saca la presión, Steamworks.
Steamworks is a comfortable and stylish place to meet other men, relax, work out, and play. Open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year to men 18 and over in Berkeley, Chicago, Toronto, Seattle, Washington, and now Vancouver, British Columbia. When you're ready to play, Steamworks is ready for you.
Visit steamworksonline.com and register to get a discount on your next visit. Enter Feast of Fools on the promo code field to get your very special discount. Remember, folks,
play hard, play smart. Express yourself with a comment. Include hashtag FOF1058 in your update for it to magically appear on the site.
We're in for a delicious diva-filled treat on today's Feast of Fun. We are talking to Melissa Young, Chanteuse cabaret diva, and Madonna expert. She is touring the country with her one-woman cabaret shows dedicated to probably one of the great entertainers of all time, Madonna Ciccone. Veronica Louise.
Attaboy. Everybody always forgets Veronica. It makes me so
Veronica's
mad.
In there?
Yeah.
What's
I always
her
say
full name?
Madonna Louise Veronica Ciccone. Veronica is her confirmation name.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Veronica's the one that wiped the sweat off and blood off of Jesus' face.
Yes,
when he carried
true.
The cross.
Melissa, why is Madonna such an important musician and female figure to you and to so many people?
She changed the way the world viewed female pop singers, I believe, and also changed the way that women of my generation especially, and I'm not saying how old I am, viewed themselves.
People who came of age in the early 90s.
Yes.
Because she allowed you to become sexual.
She did, and that's the thing, is because we were coming out of a time, at least for me, in the, you know, I lived in northeast part of the country, where a lot of us, our mothers, were these feminist women who did it all. They were the women that kept the house, fed the family, changed the world, and then, but they were very, you know, like, we have to be women and we don't have to be identified by our sexuality. Mm-hmm. And Madonna started to bring that back for us, that yes, we can have everything and we can still be sexual objects to ourselves and to others, but we can ask for what we want in the bedroom rather than being subservient to men.
Do you think that I would go as far to say that Madonna is to women in popular music as the Beatles were for men.
I firmly agree with that. I think that that's totally true. Because without Madonna, we would have no Britney Spears. We would have no Christina Aguilera. We would have no Beyonce.
Is that a good
Beyonce.
Thing or a bad thing?
Well, come on now. Christina Aguilera is all good by me. She's from fierce. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
We would not have single ladies.
We would not have that. All the single ladies.
But you're saying there's nobody that was so overtly sexual and as a performer.
No.
Certainly there's been sex symbols who sang.
Yeah.
You know, Mamie Van Doren.
Edith Piaf.
Well, she's not a sex symbol.
Think about the language that she used at the time that she used it. 1984 was when Like a Virgin came out.
Right.
The woman is singing like a virgin, touched for the very first time, and and writhing under little
canals
bridges in
Venice,
you know?
So do you think it was a counterpoint to the sort of asexual, money-centric 1980s?
Yeah, I think so. Well, she did come from the 1980s, and you know, she was at her height at that time in the 90s, and I believe music when she came back again was the height again. But I think that at that time, you got to think of where we're coming from. Like, yeah, we had Debbie Harry and we had Pat Benatar, and these were some like more rock oriented women, and Madonna was doing in pop what those ladies were doing in rock.
Is that why Cyndi Lauper failed? Because she wasn't sexy?
I think so. I mean,
Cyndi Lauper failed because she quit for like a decade.
Yeah, she did. And I can't say that Cyndi Lauper failed.
She didn't fail or succeed.
I just like to say it.
But she's Madonna's like, not playing a sidekick on Bones.
She failed because of the hairspray level she was using. Okay.
Well, I just got to say that because it was like, you know, in high school and whatnot, and they were kind of like contemporaries. I mean, Lauper came a few years ahead of time, but they were
kind of
the
critics
same kind
at
of
the
feel.
Time were saying that Cyndi Lauper was going to go somewhere and this Madonna was going
to
be a flash in the pan. Yeah, she was the horse to bet on. It was Cyndi Lauper. And ha-ha, you picked wrong. Ha-ha-ha.
Why do you think people perceived Cyndi Lauper in the 1980s to be the one to keep your eye on, the one that would have a long-term career? I mean, Cyndi Lauper would probably disagree with us if she was here in the room.
I'm sure she would.
She'd be like, you guys be nice to me.
But I mean, well, she aligned herself with wrestlers, and that was the way to go for Cyndi Lauper. No, I think that Cyndi Lauper was being more judged on her voice. That Cyndi Lauper's voice was better than Madonna's. No offense, Madonna.
Singer.
She was a better singer, had more control over her instrument, if you would. And at that time, they didn't like get that Madonna was writing her own stuff, you know, that she wasn't writing the music, but Madonna wrote all the lyrics, you know. And later we talked about Shep Pettibone earlier, and when he came into the picture, and like, you know, and she worked with
Steve
Frey.
Wait, before you go so fast, who is Shep Pettibone?
Well, I just
Shep
assume Pettibone. That everybody knows who Shep Pettibone
is. No, you gotta spell it out. We have
Shep Pettibone, listen, most people don't know who Shep Pettibone is.
Well, they
He's
should.
The producer that wrote and developed, quickly put together the song Vogue, that was released as a single in 1990, that I consider to be the most important song and music video that Madonna will ever put out.
Yeah, and he also was the producer and co-writer of a lot of stuff on Like a Prayer, which is where she said, look, you don't know who I am, I'm going to change. And then she did it again with Vogue and like mastered it, I think.
That's when the term reinventing yourself became sort of like an idea that she popularized. It was like every time she had a video, she had a new hair color, new hairstyle, new image. And at that time, it was seems like almost counterintuitive for a popular musician, especially somebody like her, to quickly change their look.
Well, at one point in time, we asked our listeners and stuff, I said, please, when you describe Madonna, quit saying you like her because she reinvents herself. It was driving us crazy.
It became
you see
a
all
cliche.
The shades are like, I like her because she reinvents herself.
Reinvent herself.
Like, and I'm just like, oh.
So we want to know from you, the listeners, what is Madonna's most important song of all time? So you can hashtag FOF 1058 on today's show.
You can count. That's so pretty. Who's pretty? You can count.
Hashtag, that's the pound sign, FOF 1058. What is Madonna's most important song and why? I argue that Vogue is because she took an underground dance move that was performed in New York City clubs
in gay clubs.
By drag queens, by homeless people, by black men, by drug addicts, by the disenfranchised, the unwashed masses of New York City. And she took something that was so deeply embedded in this culture and made it a symbol of elegance and sophistication. And because of that, And I don't think that this will ever be able to do ever again, because we live in a postmodern society where everything's accessible to everyone. Everyone can put their stuff out on YouTube, and it can become a mainstream hit overnight. But Madonna did that in 1990, which was, you know, the music industry was a gate that only the privileged few could access. And she turned and said, like the Statue of Liberty, give me your huddled masses, and brought it into it. Madonna became a symbol for America, became a symbol of what the future of womanhood was to be.
And the future of pop music.
All in vogue?
With that one song, yes, Mark. And feminists from Andrea Dworkin to
Gloria Steinem.
To
I don't know if that's true.
What's her name? The most notorious feminist of the 19th. Camille Paglia was, or
dude,
Paglia.
You just pulled that out of your ass. I never would have pulled that.
She was writing essays about Madonna and comparing herself to Madonna.
Yep.
In the 1990s, and everybody from academia to popular circles to from the highest to the lowest was in love with this musician.
Yeah, especially at that time. You know, that was before people turned on her after Erotica.
Why
that
did people turn on Madonna?
Why did they turn on Madonna? Because it wasn't what they were expecting. And I hate to say that. They weren't expecting her. They were expecting her to continue this Hollywood glamour that she kind of set up for herself with Vogue, and even with Express Yourself, the way that... like, she changed videos, too. Think about that. Think about the way she changed music videos. Think about Express Yourself alone.
How did she change the music videos?
Well, think about Lucky Star, and then think about Borderline and what happened between those. We have Lucky Star, she's dancing with her brother and her friend Erica Bell, and that was it. And then the next one we even have Burning Up, where she's writhing and on the floor and all that technological stuff that's 1980s. And then we have Borderline, where she's telling a story. And then we have Like a Virgin with the lions, and what does this mean? Bestiality. Ooh, get a la la la. And then she's burning crosses. And then, you know, she has these men and they're
kissing black people.
Well, she wants to be an iconoclast.
Yeah.
She was kissing a black guy, and that was
the black
radical
guy who was supposed to represent
Jesus, a black Jesus she's kissing in a music video. And for its time, I mean, we just take living in a multicultural, multiracial society for granted today, but back then that was amazing and radical. And she also was holding hands and kissing comedian Sandra Bernhardt on the David Letterman talk show, Late Night with David Letterman, which for a lot of Americans, they said Madonna is a lesbian.
Yeah. And she was doing things that now we think are, oh, whatever, you know, everybody's doing those things. Paris Hilton's kissing some chick in the club, who cares? You know, but it was because she did those things that people do those things now. And it's like, whatever, whatever. Like at that time when she was writhing on the floor on the MTV Video Music Awards in that bridal dress and rolling around, everyone was scandalized. It was so scandalized. And today it's like, think about the videos today with like the rap videos with the girls and their booty all hanging out, and it's all like, hey, look at me, I'm shaking my junk, everything shakes. Like, that didn't happen before Madonna. It didn't happen. Like, think about the rap videos of that time. You got Kid and Play, you got DJ Jazzy Jeff and the French Prince, Vive la France. And then you have Revolution, and then you have like Dougie Fresh, you know, and they get Fresh Crew, like happy rappers, and they're dancing and they're breakdancing, and oh, aren't those neato?
Okay,
and
now, so Melissa, how do you obviously love Madonna, and we're celebrating her. She's not the same person she was in the 1990s. She definitely got married and decided to raise a family. She turned to this kooky religion called Kabbalah,
and because of Sandra Bernhardt, who took her to the Kabbalah Center in New York City while she was pregnant.
It was
with
Sandra Bernhardt who did it.
It was. In New York City, while she was pregnant with
Sandra. So Sandra Bernhardt ruined Madonna.
Yeah,
so she was still friends with Sandra after when she was pregnant with that baby.
She was.
At one point in time, Sandra Bernhardt described Madonna as having no soul.
Yeah, she did.
So they're not friends any longer.
I think a lot of that, they're not friends any longer, but I believe that a lot of that was for PR purposes.
Oh, really?
I think so.
So why isn't Madonna the cutting edge revolutionary artist today? Is it because we've changed or is it because she's changed?
I think it's because she's changed, because she's grown up and because she's a grown up now, and her music is more grown up, and she's still like reaching out to DJs in Europe and things that are still on the cutting edge, and like the level of production, even of music. And then you get into, I don't want to talk about American Life, but then you get into meow, and then
and then some people love American Life.
They do, and go ahead. And then you
that
get
was
into
a terrible,
like,
her rhyming Pilates with hotties.
Yeah,
and that was
I'm
pretty bad.
I'm doing all the Pilates and I'm checking out the hotties, and you know my you know I'm satisfied. But she, if you look at the growth of her and like Ray of Light coming out of like the Kabbalah thing, and then we get into why am I blanky? And then we get into Confessions, and now we have Sticky and Sweet, Hard Candy. My love is sticky and sweet. Baby.
What do you think is in your opinion? I mean, I said Vogue for you guys. What is the most important song for Madonna? Do you agree with it's Vogue or is it something else?
That's a tough question for me because I have so many that I think that Like a Prayer.
Like a Prayer is the important one.
I think Like a Prayer and Express Yourself are the two that I think are, you know, because we had Vogue and then Express Yourself was right at that same time. So I feel like those in conjunction together.
Well, her first hit was Like a Virgin, wasn't it?
Her first hit, it was number one on the dance charts, was Everybody.
Everybody.
But then we had Borderline and Lucky Star, and then we have Like a Virgin.
You must be my lucky star. I want to do a really quick fact here, a trivia, is that the concept for the video Express Yourself, where she plays a totalitarian slut.
I know.
who keeps an eye on her studly army of soldiers that she occasionally has sex with. That was going to be the concept for the music video for I'm blanking out, the one where she did Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, really? What was that?
That's the name of that song now.
Material Girl?
Material Girl was going to be the totalitarian thing.
Really?
And at the last minute, they said, why don't we just do a basically copy Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend from Gentlemen Prefer Blondes.
Do you know that's when her and Sean Penn met, was on the video shoot of Like a Virgin?
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
See, I was going to say Like a Virgin.
Material Girl.
Okay. I was going to say Like a Virgin is probably her big one, I think, because that really kind of cemented her in people. It was scandalous. I mean, people were like, oh, my God. And then by that time, like, her fashion sense had really just hit America, and everybody in school was dressing
boy toy,
up like Madonna.
All the Marisol stuff, the boy toy stuff. Mm-hmm. It was, like, everywhere. I got a boy toy necklace. Hey.
But I think it's, you know, and
some gloves.
When we're talking about gay liberation, what we're really talking about is everybody in society saying, I have some same-sex attraction feelings inside me, and that is okay.
Yeah.
And Madonna was one of the first to really come out and display that and embrace her same-sex attraction.
Yeah, like, she displayed it. Like, people would like to argue that Olivia Newton-John and Let's Get Physical also displayed that.
She didn't do it. Well, who's she?
Yes,
what
have you watched Let's Get Physical?
I did.
I have.
I've never
and
seen
the boys
her
are all like, meow.
Yes, but it's difference
the
to when the background singers are interacting with each other and when she is interacting with somebody, another
didn't
woman.
Didn't you sing Let's Get Physical in Spanish or something like that for a show?
Maybe.
I think you did.
How do you have
no,
that?
No, I said it was it was a medley of Let's Get Physical with Me So Horny.
Oh, yeah. That's what it was.
They go so well together.
It's a good song. Mm. You know?
It was a good medley.
I want to get medley. Animal. But anyways, also I thought Madonna was pretty revolutionary when she decided to take the filmmaking style of Philip Glass and that wonderful movie Koyaanisqatsi, and take that stop action animation technique and put it into Ray of Light.
Ray of Light was a really, really, I think it was a revolutionary
video.
Well,
it spoke to the drugs at the time, too, is what it was.
It did speak to
the drug was that?
It was for, like,
ecstasy.
People on ecstasy.
Ecstasy. Why was ecstasy so connected with the song Ray of Light?
Because she's, like, all, like, twitchy.
and, like, these cars moving in the background, and, like, you're high, you're in a club, you see it on the video
screen. And she's all, like, sweaty, like, and stuff in that video, too. And
I want
like,
everybody
sweaty.
Who is a fan of Ray of Light and the music video to go to YouTube and search Koyaanisqatsi. It's impossible to spell out. We'll put up a link to it.
Oh, my.
And you can see the direct influence of this fabulous film with a score by Philip Glass that influenced the filmmaking style of Ray of Light.
Well, because like you say, like she's an originator, a generator, and she's really done these kinds of things. But a lot of people just say she steals everything that she's ever done.
But you know what? But you know, a good artist knows what to steal from the best.
Exactly.
And a bad artist steals from the worst.
Stealing is the most sincere form of flattery.
It's the laziest form of
flattery.
Let's
talk about Michael Jackson, because he stole his dancing from Bob Fosse in The Little Prince. Go search it out.
And Bollywood, too.
Yes. Search out Bob Fosse in The Little Prince, and he's wearing the black pants with the hat and the little white socks and the slipper shoes. Bob Fosse did it all.
Is that on YouTube?
It's on YouTube, dude.
So Bob Fosse, Little Prince, and that's where Michael Jackson get his things too.
Yes.
See, like when I see Michael dance, I like it reminds me of Bollywood.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
And we're actually taking Bollywood dance classes, and I feel like I'm Michael Jackson all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what did you think about Madonna's comparison of herself to Michael Jackson at the
perfect.
VMA?
I thought it was beautiful because Madonna was always seeking her mother, you know, and there's all that stuff like In Truth or Dare with her laying on the grave and all those things, and comparing the I Lost My Mother at 6 years old to he lost his childhood at 6 years old.
Don't you think it's weird, though, that she's like, she lost her mother, who is, you know, everybody wants their mother, and saying that he got the short end of the stick?
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of weird? I was kind of like, that was weird.
I didn't think so, because she still had a childhood, be it crazy and rocky and one of eight children and all those things, and then, you know, father marrying the woman who's hired to be the nanny and all this drama. But
she's the youngest of all.
She's the middle child.
She's the middle
child? No, it's Tony and Martin are older than she is. And then it's Madonna, and then
who's
believe
the youngest
Christopher
kid? Christopher's the youngest one?
No. There's a whole big family.
Who's the youngest?
Melanie's the youngest.
Ciccone is the youngest.
I believe Melanie's the youngest.
But the nanny and stuff like that, I guess she was a real mother to her, though, or a real stepmother.
At least
the brother portrays that in the book, saying that this was a woman that is very kind to us and very good to us.
Christopher's opinion of what happened was Christopher's opinion of what happened.
So what do you think of Christopher?
Christopher Ciccone is her bitchy gay brother, just for people who don't know.
Who did design a lot of the productions of her concerts for years and years and years, like had a really big hand in Blonde Ambition and Girly Show before she took her 8-year hiatus, which was devastating. I didn't know what to do with my life. But then she came back, thank God. And then she keeps touring every 2 years. It's like she like loves me. But she didn't bring Christopher back because, like, this is the best example I can give. If you are continuing to grow as an artist and the people with you are not growing, you have to keep growing. You have to move on.
Right.
If Madonna would have stuck with everybody she used from day one, she wouldn't be the artist she is today. And it's her ability to go out and seek out other people to work with to continue to grow as an artist. And her brother was like, oh no, I'm family. I've been doing this since the beginning. You need to keep me forever. And it's like, lazy mofo.
So this is what he just went on E! Entertainment News talking about her appearance on the Video Music Awards. Because I guess she's not answering her phone when he calls.
I wouldn't.
And he said, she looked like Rachel Zoe gone horribly wrong. It proves the point that you can judge a person by the company they keep or don't keep. It's painfully apparent that Jesus may be able to turn water into wine, but your basic blow dryer eludes him.
Like, come on. Like, bitchy queen.
Fabulous.
I thought it was fabulous.
She
looked great. She was honoring Michael Jackson in a very Madonna way with her little zipper coat. Sexy.
Well, that was the hair, though, because remember when J-Lo tried to do that hairdo a few years ago, and it just didn't work for her.
It was like three inches higher than Madonna's was.
I know, right?
J-Lo was like, I will
defy
gravity.
Well, you know who also does that hairdo is Leslie Hall. Which is you put like a roller.
No, you're not allowed to.
What? Oops. I can't talk about that.
No.
Okay.
That was
sworn to secrecy.
Oh my God.
Well,
no,
I think
nothing.
Most people know that the way that hairdo is done. So anyways.
No, Madonna's hair, she did not have anything in her hair. No, that would have just been teased and brought back.
Well, and
right?
On the infomercials, there's always the bump it where you can get the large bump it, the medium bump it, and
there
the miniature bump it. A bump it. You don't know what
a bump it
is? You can now get it at Bed Bath & Beyond. It's like these little like mound of like crown thing that you put on your head, and it has a comb, and then you put your hair over it, and it gives you the bump.
There you go.
And most women do that.
Yeah, okay.
So just so you know.
But do you think Madonna had a bump it, or she? You think
I think it was teased.
Yeah, I think it was just teased.
Nanny, nanny.
It looked very elegant, I thought, and so
I did too.
So Madonna has a new video called Celebration, which celebrates her fans at concerts. I guess they went up to the weirdos, and the interesting people, and pulled them aside. And say,
weirdos?
Do you want to be in a Madonna video with Madonna? And so they videotape them dancing in various looks. And at the end of the video, if you blink, blank, you might miss it. It's her daughter Lourdes dressed up as her mommy Madge in the 1980s like a virgin wedding dress.
She looks so much like her, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think she's getting criticized, though, but putting her daughter in her music video, I'm like, what's the big deal? The daughter looks like she's having fun. Obviously, there was not a lot of work involved. Just put on this dress, hang out in front of the video camera, and dance around.
Well, and Will Smith put his son in that movie, and like, you want to go down that path? Let's go down that path.
Well, I have a feeling, though, too, Madonna spends a lot of time with these children.
She spends a lot of time with them.
And so she's probably working, like, she's probably working just like any other working mom, and these kids are around. And so they're getting a feel for the business, they're getting to know, and it's like, listen, what's Lourdes going to do with her life? She's got millions of bucks in the bank already, I'm sure, in her name. So she's going to become some kind of artist. Because it's not like, what do you think, she's going to become a nurse? No.
Yeah,
she's not going to become a doctor. She's going to do some kind of artistic endeavor. And so her mother's probably just like, listen, we're going to grow you as an artist, and that's, you do whatever it is you want to do. And so she's probably like, I want to do what you do, because it's fun, because you know she's taking dance classes.
Oh, yeah.
You know
speaking
she's
French.
Singing, you know?
Yeah.
Working on her Kegel exercises.
Work that Kegel. Speaking
Learn
of Kegel,
early.
Every time I think of Madonna, I always think of back in the early 90s, I was taking care of handicapped people. And one of the... One of the mothers.
I don't know where that bridge comes from.
One of the mothers.
Why do you think of handicapped people?
I know.
Let me tell my story.
Okay.
One of the mothers of one of these adult handicapped persons. She was like 62 years old or something like that. And we were talking. And then we started talking. Like, they started talking about Madonna. And she got very mad. And this is a 62-year-old woman. I was like in my, you know, early 20s. And she's just like, I hate that Madonna. She's such a tramp. She'll do anything for money. She'll stick money up her cooter and set it on fire if she thought she'd make more money from it. And I was just like... Here's the old lady
saying
this.
At a girl saying cooter. See, Madonna inspired her to say cooter.
I think she said cooter or cunt. I think she said cooter.
Cooter. She didn't say see you next Tuesday.
No, I don't think maybe she said cunt. I don't know.
Will we ever see a musician like the Beatles or like Madonna? Or are we moved as a society past this sort of like single?
They are the next. They are the
focal
next.
Point of entertainment. Are we decentralized our entertainment so much that, you know, with Facebook and YouTube and the internet, it's like we are the next Madonna. We are all the next Beatles.
I feel like that's the kiss of death, though. Let's think of a little band called Oasis. You younger kids probably have no idea who they are.
Oasis.
But do you remember that interview in the 90s where they were up there and they're like, we are so the next Beatles. And then...
What was their big hit?
I don't remember.
And one of them, there were brothers in that band or something like that, I think. Wasn't there two brothers? There was something recently they made the news.
Brothers.
They had a huge hit. But then, it fell apart. And I think one of the brothers says that they'd never work with him again or something like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was all very much like, we're the next Beatles. No, you're not.
Well, don't you think Lady Gaga's the next Madonna?
I think I want to see
where
she goes. She's different, and I want to see where she goes.
Doesn't she have that same kind of splash that Madonna had when Madonna kind of hit the scene?
I kind of get that feel from her. Mm-hmm. I want to see where she goes. I want to see, is she a flash in the pan? Are people going to get bored with her?
The thing is that in order to be someone like the Beatles or Madonna, you sort of have to look at society where they are now and say, where can I push everyone to go in a new direction?
Mm.
And Lady Gaga right now, she's echoing what we are celebrating, who we are already.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like we're going, oh my God, she's getting me to think radically different the way that I do. For her, me, Dick is not a radical thing. That's just like manipulating people's like gossipy nature.
Yeah.
Well, it's the nature of the business has kind of changed. And I was watching on Bill Maher. It was kind of, I saw it recently, but it was a repeat. I think it was taped in June. And he was talking to Billy Ray Thornton.
Yeah.
You know, from Sling Blade.
Yeah.
And he was talking, I was talking to this young person and how like all the great music came out of the 50s and 60s and stuff like that. And nowadays you don't have the same kind of artists. And like, think about who's like the popular people. You don't have the Beatles. You don't have the Rolling Stones and stuff like that. And, you know, Bill Maher's just kind of high as a kite, just sitting there, yeah, Billy, yeah, I agree with you.
He was stoned, you said?
I think he smokes some
pot. I'm like, get a little closer. Let's see those pupils.
But so the thing is, though, it's like it's a different mentality. And we do have people out there that are as good musicians, I think, as the Beatles, as the Rolling Stones and things like that. It's just that the way we consume things is differently. And like, it's not the mass. Before, it was like on the radio, all you ever heard was the Beatles.
Right.
You know, you get that. And so it became mass culture, mass this, mass that. And so that's the only thing you could get. And so you almost become kind of like hypnotized by it. And so you believe in it more.
Yeah.
Whereas we have so many different options today. You know, we have hip hop, you've got rap, you've got, you know, everything. It's
and
reggaeton,
your iPod,
rock
if
and roll.
Like, like if you get sick of Madonna singing, you turn to Lady Gaga. Mm-hmm. If you get sick of Lady Gaga, you turn to Black Eyed Peas and Fergie. Yeah. If you get sick of them, you know. And so I think, I don't know if this is necessarily a good or bad thing. I don't want the listeners mm-hmm. to feel like, you know, the sense of loss. It's just that we are different people and we live in different times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an instant gratification society.
But see, that's a negative thing. I think that we're a very diverse society now, much more diverse. And instead of having one person mm-hmm. being this sort of like a singularity for the way we think about music and culture and entertainment, now we're sort of this fog. Mm-hmm. A cloud of entertainment.
Well, you think about it. There were bands that, you know, and I feel like this is going to be a bold statement. I feel like U2 does have the continued possibility to be like the Beatles, because U2 is still really good. And if you mm-hmm. think about what they were doing in the 80s, with or without you, at the same time as Like a Virgin was big mm-hmm. on the radio, there was nothing else on the radio like that. So they were doing big things for rock. And then, of course, Nirvana, and had Kurt Cobain not taken his life, I don't know where they would have gone either. So I feel like there's bands that sort of touch the Beatles, but aren't the Beatles.
And then, of course, there's Lady Miss Kieran DeLight.
Wolves in the house.
You know, and it was like, to me, I was very entertained and amused, and I love Lady Miss Keir. At the same time, I just felt like a certain sense of loss of hanging out with her in San Francisco. And I was like, this is a woman who was at a certain point in time as big as Madonna and changing our culture and celebrating things that were underground and bringing them to the forefront. Mm-hmm. And now she's like drunk in my hotel room, wouldn't leave. You know,
it's
and
true.
I'm like, and
people
I was just
change.
Like,
yeah.
and I was like, I had a sense of a loss, you know.
But you never know what happens. Like, you don't know what happens behind the scenes and things like that. It's like it could be
people
something,
are crazy,
you know?
And it's okay.
It's okay to be
crazy, you know.
It's okay.
So
I'm a little crazy. Who, it's okay.
Who is Madonna, and where do you think her career, her music, is going?
Who is Madonna? Wow, that's a big question. How dare you ask me that question?
You know the answer to that.
I do. I think Madonna is the queen of pop. And I think she'll always be
the
queen of pop.
Nonsense, what? Meaningless answer you could have ever given.
Well, Michael Jackson
is
the king
of pop. Madonna is the queen.
Who's the new king of pop?
Oh, I don't know.
Will anybody ever want
Jesus.
That title again?
Jesus.
No, listen. There, like I said, there is singularities aren't... it's impossible to have them today. But
I think Madonna is
what is Madonna afraid of? What is Madonna attracted to?
I think Madonna is attracted to sounds that she hasn't heard before, and currently it's the electronic sound. She's kind of caught up in what DJs are doing.
The Kanye West sort of thing.
Right.
Are we going to hear her like share her voice out? Like, do you believe in life after love?
I don't know that she'd do that. They'd have to give her a whole lot of money to do it.
You can get her. Listen, she has an iPhone. Just tell her to download the $2.99 I am T-Pain application.
I am T-Pain.
And you can just launch it. And here, we'll get you to do it right now live on the show.
I'm
launching
T-Pain.
I'm T-Pain. Mm-hmm. And you
check this out. This is hot.
It's really hilarious. Okay, so here we go.
Now he's going to ask you to sing something.
Sing.
I don't know what to
just sing.
Sing
like a virgin
Madonna.
Or something.
I made it through the wilderness. Somehow I made it through. I didn't know how lost I was till I found you.
Okay, so that's really good. And now I'm going to press pause and I'm going to save it.
I picked a random key.
That's all right.
And this is what's really cool. Check it out. Ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, sing something.
I don't know what to
just
say.
Anything, Madonna.
I made it through the wilderness. Somehow I made it through. I'm a star.
I didn't know how lost I was till I found you.
Okay. So that is the I am T-Pain application. You can find it through our website feastoffun.com, and you could be like Kanye or Cher or eventually I think Madonna is going to do that, but it's kind of a tacky technique.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, she did do it. Oh, what song did she do it on? It was It was on Music.
Mm-hmm. I think in Ray of Light she did it.
It might have been Ray of Light.
Let's try that again. Let's see. I'm gonna go back.
If you were to meet Madonna, what would you ask her?
I would pass out. I would pass out.
You
first.
Would.
I would totally pass out.
With a little ray of light. Okay, let's see.
Ray of light turned into a vocal exercise.
Oy, oy, oy.
Okay,
ready?
Like,
let's hear this.
With a little ray of light.
That always reminds me of the Simpsons episode.
It sounded really cool, actually.
Do you ever see The Simpsons where they recruit Bart to be in a boy band and it's like David's really joined the Navy?
Even at Neon's. Okay, so we are talking to Melissa Young, Madonna expert Chanteuse. She is performing Lucky Star, her one-woman show dedicated to the probably one of the greatest musician female singers of all time, October 3rd at Harlan's Cabaret in New Hope, Pennsylvania. Where else?
And also on October 4th at Piano's Bar and Grill in Bloomfield, New Jersey. And then on October 6th at Don't Tell Mamas in New York. Please come. I'm so fun.
You are fun.
You're a roller coaster ride of popular culture and music.
How far is New Hope from Philly?
New Hope is about 25 minutes from outside of Northeast Philadelphia. It's in Bucks County, which is where I grew up. I went to Pensbury High School. Word up, Pensbury Falcons.
Bucks County.
Yeah.
Isn't that, that's where, what's down in Bucks County? That's,
Penn's Landing is in, not Penn's Landing, Pensbury Manor.
The Poconos are there, aren't they?
I don't know that the Poconos, no, I think they're in Chester County. Okay. I'm not sure, but they're over there.
They're over there.
And when I was little, I thought it said popcorn. And I was like, why can't we go to popcorn, Mom? I'm like,
because it's pretty down there.
Popcorn.
So what's this joke that's going around Facebook and everyone's Twitter?
Oh, the Facebook joke is... Oh, fuck.
Here we go.
Let me see if I can say it right. Okay, I have to think about it, because who was the guy that just died?
Okay, Patrick Swayze just died,
and they had his funeral, and Kanye West interrupted it and said that Michael Jackson's funeral was better. It's everywhere all over Facebook. The other thing that's all over Facebook, too, is Propecia Ask a Crack Ho. It's a video of this African-American woman sitting in a chair, and people on this television set are asking her questions, and she's like all crazy and ghetto and wackadoodle, and she's like, smoke some crack. We'll smoke some crack and whatever. It's most of her answers. My favorite one is like,
it's around because she just died.
Well, and I think people started reposting because she just died, but I think a lot of people don't realize. They just like the blaxploitation aspect of it. They don't realize that she just died, so I keep going around going, R.I.P. Propecia. And they're all like, really? She died? I'm like, yep.
Oh, no. And they're like, I feel like a jerk.
Yeah.
Well, she's actually an actress. She was not an actual crack whore. She was an actress.
I think she was an actress.
Yeah. Who played very convincingly a crack whore who was upset at all these white people's stupid ass questions.
Right. Yeah. But then it's funny. She's just like, get some crack, smoke some crack. I think you're a dumbass. You're an idiot. And then somebody asks, like, what do you do for fun or something? She's like, I crochet.
And then Mary Travers from Peter, Paul, and Mary just died.
Puff the magic dragon lives by the sea and frolics in the autumn mist in the land of Hanalei.
A little Johnny paper.
Let's do that one more time. Ready? Go, sing it.
Puff the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Something Lee.
Hanalei.
Okay, let's hear that. Ready? So this is Puff the Magic Dragon, T-Pan style.
Puff. The magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Something Lee.
That was just terrible. Sorry, listeners.
He's obsessed with the T-Pain application.
He loves that T-Pain. He does it all the time.
They should pay you. They should.
Well, if you buy it through our website, listeners, we make 5% of everything that we sell.
Any iTunes
Shut
link.
Shut the front door.
It's true. Girl, that's pay for the website, you know. And it's, or if you want to go to feastoffools.net/thank you, you can make a contribution to our next website. Give me a drum roll. We're going to give you today's grand total. We are almost 3/4 of the way. Of course, the website's down or something. Okay, ready? Here we go. It's $2,596.
Yay! Oh my God, you guys should so pay my rent. I still haven't paid it for September.
Can you sorry, pay? Honey. We got to pay our webmaster.
We got to pay
our web other developer. Things. I'm sorry, they don't call them webmasters anymore. They don't
web mistress, actually.
Mm-hmm. Web There's developers.
One of the people who's working on our website is two of the people who are working on our website are ladies. Oh,
really? They're ladies.
Ladies.
So we support feminist movement causes.
I know. I like
or support my
women.
Husband at www.thecardinal.net.
So Henry Gibson, the man who did the voice for Wilbur, the the incredible, what is this?
Speaking
the,
pig.
The talking pig.
He was all terrific. Kinds of things. Yeah, yeah. Terrific was the one terrific. Of them for sure. I don't remember. And I actually was Web. In a production of Charlotte's Web in
you
college.
What did
I was,
you play?
I the was goose. The little lamb. Oh yeah, the pig. Kill the pig.
Kill the pig.
Kill the pig.
So if you want to cry, rent Charlotte's Web and see.
Charlotte
the,
lives. No, I'm Charlotte. Sorry, not Charlotte. The what's it, Wilbur lives.
Wilbur lives, but
dies.
Oh God damn it, Mark! Don't give away the movie for
no,
the people.
But she has her babies, dies. And they fly everywhere. She
God, does. You are giving the movie away bye, for the people who haven't seen bye. It.
Oh, who hasn't seen bye. Charlotte's
and
Web?
And they're like, bye, bye, bye.
I cried so hard when I saw Charlotte's Web.
It was
Charlotte
a little
Web's.
Sad, wasn't it?
Yeah. I was like,
ugh. Do you know what movies are really, really tragic? And I can't see because I have post-traumatic stress disorder.
What's that?
I can't watch the Pixar movies. They all start with great tragedy. Finding Nemo is devastating. It's like the first 20 minutes of Saving Private Ryan for me. It's so I get so upset. That one's bad. And oh my God, the scene in Toy Story 2 where they have the song and then she's on the bed and the girl goes off to college. I'm getting teary-eyed. And then she doesn't love her anymore because she's grown up and she sits on the bed and doesn't play with her anymore. I am aww. For real totally crying.
It's okay,
it's
cry.
So
honey.
Sad. That's see, right.
Here, smoke
it's
some
awful.
Crack.
It's about abandonment issues that it I is. Have. I do. I have.
Well,
them.
Did you see well. Up?
I haven't seen Up yet. I
oh
want
my
to.
God, that's
up,
a tearjerker.
Up will make you cry a little
especially
bit.
Especially if you're yeah. in a long-term relationship, you're just like,
oh, oh right, because he's a widower.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because
one day, Mark will be a single man.
Oh, you're going first? Is that what we're talking
about? He'll kill me first.
Oh, you'll kill him first.
He'll be like, he'll come in.
I have a feeling I have a phobia that I'm going to get crushed by like a bus or something.
Really?
Yeah.
My husband has a phobia about floodlights.
Really?
And it's totally true. He's totally mad at me right now.
What, like if a floodlight turns on, he goes crazy?
We were at some theater in the western suburbs and this floodlight came on and he was like, and like my friend Bill's like floodlight.
So I want to draw the killer. Listener's attention here to this beautiful young man named Barry Delaney, who was very close to another British soldier who I guess they served in Afghanistan, and they had made a strange pact that whoever died first, the other one would wear a bright green dress and pink leg warmers to the guy's funeral. But I think they had to work more than just a friendship.
I think so.
You
too.
Know, and so the guy shows up at the funeral, and look how cute he looks.
And he's so crying.
Oh,
and he's
that's sobbing. So beautiful. Tears. Give me this.
Saving Private Elliot.
Oh, that is so beautiful. Look at the segue I gave you. You didn't even notice. I'm so good at it.
Well, this is why we are the Feast of Fun, honey. We work these things. Work
you guys are rock stars. Oh
I was,
my God,
I was
this
looking
is so
at
sad.
A Gaper's Block the other day, too, and they had this Conventioneer's Guide to Chicago Nightlife from 1956. It was like a little pamphlet that they would give out to the conventioners. And there were so many titty bars in Chicago back in 1957. Everything was a burlesque, you know, and like Shake It and Miss Thing doing her thing.
Well, State Street used to
1957.
Well, State Street was like naughty town. Like, and it was all, don't you remember? Like, they were cleaning up State Street because it was like, good times galore. Boom, chicka, wow, wow.
Now it's like, if you go to State Street after 8 p.m., unless you're going to go see a show, you're SOL.
Yeah, it's kind of downtown. It's kind of dead, but there was the Hollywood Reporter, because you know in these little magazines, they always have like the Hollywood gossip. It was kind of like, you know, newspapers and things like this were the blogs of their day.
At the time.
And so they had a strictly hush-hush item I'll read to you. This is from 1957.
So this is gossip. From the 19th,
yeah, it's
40.
It's 52 years old.
52
spill
years
it,
old.
Mark, spill the gossip.
So it says Lauren Bacall is still burning up over the embarrassment she suffered when she and her debonair escort stopped at a side street bar. Lauren's escort not only paid very little attention to Lauren, but wound up falling all over another debonair young man at the bar. When the two fellows started kissing each other on the mouth, Bacall decided it was no place for her and left the two lovers alone. alone.
Girl was like, shoot, I ain't getting anything from this situation.
It's marvelous. I feel itchy and bitchy and trashy. Calm and collected, but choking with panic, but alive. But alive, but alive.
It's decaffeinated.
Decaffeinated. Oh, so that's Lauren Bacall in the All About Eve musical called Applause.
Applause.
Highly, highly recommended. Melissa, consider doing a one-woman Applause.
Oh, my God. Let's do it. What are we doing right now?
You know what I'm...
My Move dream, this table. I got some tap shoes.
I have a dream of doing a one-man Dreamgirls. So sing the entire score of Dreamgirls from beginning to end. But because I don't have the pipes to carry it out, I'm bringing all my singing friends and do like a different duets.
Are you going to be a mouther? Like be on stage mouthing?
No,
as they
I
sing?
Can sing.
Oh, okay. That's right. You can sing. You just
I can
sing.
I can even sing I'm Telling You while I'm eating a cupcake.
What was the thing the other day? You started
Is it
singing,
a red velvet
what
cupcake?
What was it? The Dreamgirls thing? We are your Dreamgirls?
We are Dreamgirls, born to make you happy.
Yeah.
And we'll never leave you. What's the line?
Dreamgirls will never leave you.
But we'll get rid of the fat one.
Yeah, right?
Unless you're fat, then you're
Unless you
here.
Ate a sandwich, see ya.
And I am Maybe telling you.
I should have had a salad. I chose the pastrami on rye. It was a bad choice.
Did you ever post your cake video for
oh,
that?
Oh, no, I'm saving that for the fall, and so that's coming just around the corner, honey. But today we're seeing Melissa Young and Mark Felian showing you how to cut a melon
I
for some
no
weird
idea.
Reason.
You were so impressed with my melon
I'm
cutting
so
skills
impressed.
From that video.
Why did you guys decide to do that? That's ridiculous.
Well, you guys had something online.
Eric Soso came over and I was making watermelon sangria and I cut a watermelon and you were
Oh my God. It was like, and he was just like, whatever, watermelon, chatting it out, cutting the watermelon. And it looked like it does in the restaurant. And I was like, I got to learn how to do that. I want to be a professional watermelon chopper when I grow up. Golly, I wonder if Mark has a school for melon choppers. And he does.
And I do.
So, yeah, and no fingers were lost again.
Let's do some quick news items.
Quick news items.
We're running out of time. So Nicole Kidman is going to play a trans artist. So one of the first people to ever get a sex change was a Danish painter named Einar Wegener. And he became a Lily Elba and started living as a woman. And so Nicole Kidman's going to play him in a movie coming up.
At a girl. And so does that mean that transvestites can't move their face?
I think that is so mean.
Well, yeah, listen,
true,
so she has
she
a little
her
Botox.
Eyebrows, a little Botox. Her eyebrows are still. the eyebrows are trying to move. They're trying. The strain is too great.
I just, we were hanging out with some people who
had Botox.
Are big fans of Botox, and I was like a little drunk and I was like, why don't you shoot up some Botox in my butt? And they're like, you actually can shoot Botox in your butt. Yeah. And some people do it to loosen their anuses
so that they can get
relax.
Fit for fisting
so to
bottoms.
Relax their anus.
Isn't that crazy?
Relax.
So that's the sexual fetish.
Relax.
Botox in your butt so you can get fisted.
Sing Oklahoma with your ass and you're ready to go. Prepare.
Meanwhile, they're working, because Hollywood has officially run out of ideas. They're turning the A-Team, TV show, into a movie.
And is Mr. T going to play Mr. T?
I hope so. B.A. Baracus.
To.
But they cast Jessica Biel.
Biels.
Really?
What the fuck is that?
Jessica Biel.
So according to Wikipedia, Jessica Claire Biel was born in 1982 as an American actress and former
Jennifer
model.
Jennifer Biel's daughter or sister.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Jessica Biel. Flashdance.
There was that whole thing, don't you remember? It was like all of the internet rage, the war. Who's hotter, Jessica D'Alba or Jessica Biel? You don't remember any
so,
of that?
So everyone's scratching their heads why Jessica Alba didn't get the role. She's playing the,
Are you serious?
Yes. Everyone's like asking, why didn't it? Because, the A-Team movie
when
is kind
of
Jennifer.
When I think of actress, I think of Jennifer Alba.
Well, Jessica
Alba. That's how much
the
I think of her.
Movie is kind of a Jessica Alba Fantastic Four kind of, trashy bad movie. I just want they should cast Jessica Biel as B.A. Baracus.
I want Kanye West as Mr. T.
No.
I want to play Mr. T.
I hate Kanye West so much.
I pity
much.
The fool who messes with me, Mr. B.A. Baracus.
So a radio show in Croatia caught a cheating husband. The wife thought it would be so wonderful to call her husband through the radio at his hotel room while a woman answered the phone.
And it turned out,
hello? And she's like, who are you with? And so she started screaming, and they're saying that their marriage has been ruined.
Well, what did she say when she answered the phone? She said, I'm sorry, he's in the shower.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then when when he got on the phone, they said, who is she? And he said, oh, that's my wife. And his wife was like, no, he's not. It's over. It's over. 82 years of marriage and it's over.
This is the unhappy, sexy whistle. And meanwhile, you know, your tax dollars are hard at work. Jennifer Lopez and Mark Anthony have decided to take a trip to the nation's capital to meet with Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi.
All right.
And members of the Congressional Hispanic Caucus, because Jennifer Lopez is very concerned about America and education, and I want to have a baby inside me. Mark Anthony, put a baby inside me.
I need two. Two, please.
I don't know why. I hate it when celebrities that are really stupid
are like, education is the way to go. Clearly, my education was poor and lacking. I don't want my children to suffer the fates of... Wait, I forgot.
Why would you think Jennifer Lopez is stupid?
She has a wonderful career.
She has a very talented husband.
She kills animals, and she's a big... She wears does. Mink... eyelashes.
She's an insensitive,
awful whore.
Fausto. Oh.
She is. She's insensitive to the plights of animals' rights.
Aw, but without her, we wouldn't have had Ben Affleck had to like be in love with her, and then he's so dumb he couldn't marry somebody else with a different name because then he'd have to learn how to yell a new name. So he just married someone else named Jennifer because it's easy.
His past wife was still married. Yeah,
Jennifer Garner, right? He married.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I went through a Greg phase when I was in high school and early college, I understand.
I slept with two Marks in one weekend. Is that weird?
I think that you need to look at yourself.
So Jennifer Lopez did not wear her long, you know, her back cut dress at the White House. She wore a nude Victoria Beckham dress.
She did not wear a nude one.
Well, like, you know, skin tone.
Colored.
So it looks from far away like she's naked.
Oh, that's hot going naked through the White House.
I think it's a choice.
And then True Blood's Mikad Brooks, the big black stud.
I love him.
He's dead. Spoiler alert.
Uh-oh. Yeah, they killed him off on the show.
They did? And the last... I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry.
I was in Seattle. I'm going to have to... Wait. So
just rewind and
they killed
erase
him?
It.
Eric's Anyways, dead? Is it Eric?
We'll explain... Yeah. No,
that's not Eric.
The big, tall, black stud. So anyways...
The one that's fucking the chick.
So anyways, he said in an interview with Honey Magazine about his stance on gay rights. He said, I haven't gotten that far thinking about settling down with a marriage, but yeah, I want a wife and I want kids, the whole thing. But I'm not even concerned with marrying anybody or somebody until it's legal for everybody to get married.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is the whole Proposition 8 thing.
Oh,
I find it really offensive. I just find it really problematic when you start throwing people's rights away.
Mm-hmm. Attaboy.
Yeah.
Attaboy.
I think he just got himself cast in another movie.
He really did. Attaboy.
Thank God. You know, more male hunks need to come out
male,
for gay rights.
More straight people need to come out. That's
straight
what it comes
equality.
Down to. That's how we're going to make progress in the civil rights movement. It wasn't all just people of color. It wasn't until the white folks came out. Come on, whitey. Come
well,
on.
Well, the thing
out.
About it is when we're fighting for gay rights, mm-hmm. it's rights for everybody.
Everybody.
And it's a right for to look in those feelings inside you, those same-sex attractions, and say... What are you doing?
I'm being your inspirational music.
I thought you were like playing Sanford and
no,
Son
I was,
or something.
No, that would be burnt.
And last but not least, we got a thank you card from Bill Brennan and Jim Ferraris.
Oh, from the wedding.
Dear Mark
celebrity
and Fausto, our celebrity wedding, the only wedding we've ever been to that was covered by People magazine.
Have you ever been to a wedding that was covered
about
by People magazine?
I did go to a wedding where the groom got so drunk we had to cover him with People magazine. Does that count?
It's a magazine about humans. What a delight it was to have you both share in our joy. You certainly made a fun and wonderful impression to many of our friends and family, and the two of you look stunning. like Calpurnia Adams
says.
Who's
pretty?
We love the photos and videos you guys took. Thank you for your heartfelt card and gifts.
Aw, that's so nice.
We gave them some silverware.
And they just got married and they already wrote a thank you note.
Oh, yeah.
That's what you got to do. That's classy, honey.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it took me some time.
Really?
It took me some time to write my
thank
you notes.
Well,
they're
going to go on their honeymoon, so they're like, let's just get it done with. Let's do it.
Oh, yeah. They're going to some remote Atlantic island.
It's not Atlantic. Ooh. It's the Pacific. Yes.
It's Eastern and Pacific time.
I think they're like Borneo or something.
I think they're going to that island where Lost is. And
that's
they're going to
that's Oahu.
I can't wait for that to start. It's the last season.
I know. I'm freaking
out. What's the deal?
I love
what
it.
Happened?
Do you guys like Fringe?
Do you think it's an alien
too?
Ship?
Oh, I didn't think about
it. It's a crash landed.
Do you think it's from the future that's like it's kind of lost in time?
Lost in time.
Or like it's an arc?
And lost in space.
I think it's an arc for humanity.
I'm quoting Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Do you think like Dr. Frankenfurter is going to get killed? And
wouldn't you like to see Jack dressed like that? Dr. Jack. Hey, I want to remind people that today's show is brought to you in part by Steamworks Gym Sauna and Baths. Release the pressure.
Saca la presión. Steamworks.
Steamworks is a comfortable and stylish place to meet other men, relax, work out, and play. Open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year to men 18 and over in Berkeley, Chicago, Toronto, Seattle, Washington, and now Vancouver, British Columbia. When you're ready to play, Steamworks is ready for you.
Visit steamworksonline.com and register to get a discount on your next visit. Melissa,
she enter. Can't go.
I want to go
for the
so
ladies.
Bad.
So I think I saw your husband there.
Enter Feast of Fun on the promo code field and you're going to get a very special discount. Remember, folks, play hard, play smart. Tell them Feast of Fun sent you. Cause you know, it's like anytime we've ever been to Steamworks, they look because we're famous, you know. Oh, we're usually the most famous people at any kind of place.
In our minds. We
in
are.
In our minds. And, well, and
me too.
We walk in there and the staff goes, oh, Mark Fillion, Fausto Fernos from Feast of Fools. And I'm like, it's called Feast of Fun. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, right this way. We have the finest suite available for you. I'm like, I don't know.
VIP
I'm not going to need
the
best.
I'm
going
to see Normal Paul today. I just have to, you know, get something.
And they're like, oh, fabulous.
I have an itch and let's go scratch.
Mm-hmm. But you know, they'll teach
you. You can't get tested there. I think it's every Tuesday.
That's fantastic.
For HIV. And even a chicks brilliant. Can go get tested. Mm-hmm.
And other
so I could go into
too.
The bath?
Yeah.
No, it's a special entrance. It's not the main entrance. It's to the
but
side.
But it's kind of part. It's it gives so you a feel. Like you're inside.
You could
you
stick
know?
Around a little bit.
I want to know. I want to know. I'm so
go get a
fascinated.
Test, girl.
I'm fascinated. Well,
they take a
tests.
Mouth swab.
A mouth swab?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's so much easier. Used to they take blood.
They take blood too for the other stuff.
Yeah, but I wanna,
HIV is a mouth swab. It's blood for like the gonorrhea strep. And all that stuff.
Gonorrhea. What do they do for the herpes?
They just look at you and go, girl, you got herpes.
Why don't you get some cream?
You know, statistically, and I might
seven
be wrong with
ten.
Them, 7 out of 10 Americans have herpes.
3 out of 5.
They do?
Yeah.
What?
1 or 2.
Well, so, yeah, so pretty
one
much chances
there,
are if you're listening to this show, you have herpes.
What can you do?
Well, you maybe that's what's going on with all those women who have that not so fresh feeling.
Well, and I want to say to the listeners out there, the best way if you are struggling with cold sores on your face or you're having an outbreak, get rid of the chocolate, get rid of the nuts, the alcohol,
caffeine. It's not nuts.
Nuts. Some people, almonds and pecans and walnuts will...
You do that for spastic colon, too.
Really?
Which is IBS now. Spastic colon.
Go to your vitamin store. Buy yourself some lysine. Take the lysine. Get yourself some olive leaf. That also helps a lot to fight the virus. Vitamin A or beta carotene supplements.
Beta carotene.
And reduce stress.
Reduce stress is really the key to heal anything.
Mm-hmm. And then you can go to the pharmacy, get a Breva, get some also lysine chapstick.
You get
put that
pills
on.
Too, can't you?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So get all those things, you know, you get rid of that cold sore.
Yeah.
Work it.
And then you won't, you know, you'll be
work that
sucking
cold
those
sore.
Cocks next weekend.
Put a little glitter on it and be like, hey, cold sore,
it's
shake
just
it,
a cold
baby.
Sore.
You know,
it's
that's what the Victorian sore. Women used to do. They would paint their cold sores with a black thing.
Oh, to make them look like moles.
No, they put little pieces of fabric on it.
Is that what they did?
Yeah, or paper, black paper.
That's what Madonna got her dot.
That's what you see in the Renaissance. Fausto gets the Victorian age and Renaissance mixed up. But it's those. That's those the famous things you'd see in the French courts. Those were to cover
again,
swords.
Vive la France!
And last but not least, the Madonna trivia. We were, what cocktail did Madonna popularize that before years before other television shows and media
other television divas
blowjobs. Popularized it. So what cocktail? You will find out on our website feastoffun.com. not on today's show, sorry.
I would be like, I know pick me, but I know because
the answer is
me.
In the comment section of today's show. Melissa Young, thank you for giving us an insight into the mind of Madonna.
Thank you for having me. And hey, if you want to know where my shows are because you didn't remember and you're like, oh my god, I'm so pretty, it's www.melissayoung.com. Oh my god, I totally did a plug. Oh,
that's
and
okay.
Hi, Devin Green.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Devin Green.
Devin Green. She might be the singularity we're looking for. She is the Madonna of YouTube.
You know what a singularity is, right?
I don't know
it's
what it means.
It's a black hole.
Oh.
Well, it's a strong gravitational force.
Strong gravitational force.
You know, that everything's attracted to it. It's like, that's why I call it entertainment singularities.
Your
whole, where everything else doesn't
the
matter.
The event horizon.
You
if
said
you get
whole.
Stuck there, time stops. That's how they're going to bring back Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, are they?
I think so.
Yum.
The singularity.
Remember, they're parked outside of singularity.
Oh, you're time right.
Stops. That's right. So maybe we might be seeing lesbians in space again.
Mm-hmm. Lesbians in space.
So we're going to, Melissa, you're going to leave us what from what?
Oh, last time I was here, we recorded my German polka version of Human Nature.
With the delicious Joshua Stephen Curtis?
Yes, who is playing for me when I am on the East Coast, the lovely Josh.
And he's living in New York City. Shout out to Joshua. Yeah. You live in a shoebox.
And all his language, linguistic,
his
whatever.
Elvish language.
Yeah. J.R. Tolkien.
That's so weird.
Isn't it
it's
weird?
Like, come on, dude. It's like, what, you don't have a word for chair? Come on.
And like, he knows so many languages. Like, I know one phrase in Japanese, and it's Moskoshi Kiresai. And he was like, I'll speak slowly. I'm like, oh, he knows. Because I was trying to test him, but it's true.
What did you just say? Did you say something filthy?
I know. I said Moskoshi Kiresai, which means please speak slowly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, because this is a family show, Melissa. You can't cuss on it.
Fuck.
See, now I have to edit that out. You made it explicit.
I'm
tag.
A sailor.
Okay, thank you. Melissa Young singing Human Nature. Hasta la vista, babies.
I'm Mark Fillion.
I'm Fausto Furnos.
Bye-bye.
Express yourself. Do not repress yourself. Expression good. Repression nein. Das ist nicht gut, ja. We have things to tell you. You must be free today, ja. This is good. I believe so. Okay, here we go. Und I'm not sorry.
No! This is sorry.
It's human nature.
It's human nature.
Und I'm not sorry. No! I ain't your bitch, don't hang your shit on me.
It's human nature.
You punished me by telling me your fantasies, yeah. You didn't want to see life through mine eyes. You tried to shove me back inside my narrow room. Closets are narrow, and punish me with bitterness and lies. Did I say something wrong? Oops, I didn't know we couldn't talk about sex. Was was I thinking? Did I stay too long? Oops, I didn't know I couldn't speak my mind. What is I thinking? You know what? This tempo is not fulfilling my feelings on the inside. You know what? The wall is down. We have things to tell the people. The wall is down. We have freedom now. Do you know, Joshua, what are you doing over there?
I'm not your bitch. Don't hang your shit on me.
Eins, zwei, drei, vier. Yeah. We are not sorry. Now we dance the dance of freedom. Yeah. Oh. We dance sideways. We dance up and down and we squat. Squat is good for your assets. Yeah, das ist gut. Wunderbar. 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 Kaugummi is Bear Bolton. Yeah.
Yeah, you are so crazy, girl.